Hello, I'm Pastor Steve Igo from Cedar Church, located in Jenison, Michigan. I'm glad you joined us to listen to this message. If you would like additional information on Cedar Church, stay tuned after this sermon. This message was recorded at one of our weekly services, and I hope you find it challenging. I invite you to open your Bibles with me to the book of Exodus chapter 20. We'll read verse 16, one verse only, as we continue this sermon series on the Ten Commandments, God's great gift. Exodus 20, verse 16, listen closely. This is God's word. You shall not give false testimony against your neighbor. This is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Lord, we do indeed thank you for the law of the Lord. It is sweeter than honey and the honeycomb. Though in our failure to keep it, it is indeed bitterness within our hearts. And yet grace, the grace of Jesus, is greater than all of our sin. So we thank you that Christ has come and has lived out the law in a way no one else has. And as we follow Jesus, he imputes his righteousness to us and gives us power and grace to walk in his ways. We pray that this message would be part of the ministry of Jesus in equipping us to live lives of truth. We humbly ask this in Jesus' name, and let us say, amen. Well, lying can become a way of life. In fact, if you read some of the literature, you'll find that lying has become the way of life for many of us. In the book, The Day America Told the Truth, Americans tell the truth about how much they actually lie. Now, are you ready for this? 91% admit to lying regularly. Think about that next time somebody says, hey, you look good today. Gets you wondering, doesn't it? Most of us find it hard to get through the week without lying. It's true. In fact, the problem was found in the early church. Don't act like I've offended your virgin ears. Handling the truth is always a problem for people. We're strangely drawn to it and repelled by it at the same time. Paul himself had to give an admonition to the church in Colossae. In Colossians 3, verse 9, he says, do not lie to each other. He's speaking to the church. He says, do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with all its practices. And so Paul brings up issues in his letters that were relevant to the life of the church to whom he wrote. And lying was flourishing even in the body of Christ. We need help. Even though we don't like to hear it, the fact remains that each one of us is a liar. Now, you know how we often define lying. It's somebody who lies one more lie than I lie. But you see, the definition of a liar is someone who lies. And so if you lie, you are a liar. And this is something we all are. The Bible is very clear. Now, by this, I don't mean we're lying all the time, every moment. The doctrine of depravity doesn't mean that everybody sins as bad as they can at every moment of the day, 7 by 24 by 365 by 80. But it does mean, nonetheless, that we all have a problem with loving and respecting the truth, of believing that we should speak the truth, of believing that the truth will set us free. We need the healing balm of the ninth commandment to live a blessed life. For when we live out the ninth commandment, it will bring us peace with God, peace with our neighbor, peace with our family. So let us not bear false witness against our neighbor. And so this brings us tonight to our first point in our message. Why did God give this commandment? Why did God give this commandment? Well, the answer is very simple, and it's this: because truth is sacred. Truth is sacred. I want you to think about that tonight And I hope you agree with me by the end of the message. There is something very sacred about truth that you and I must respect. And we feel it. We know there is something sacred about truth. And I'll tell you why. You see, truth is a basic quality of God's nature. The Bible tells us that God is many things. The Bible tells us God is love. And that's a beautiful thing. That's why love is sacred. The Bible tells us God is faithful. And that is true. That is why we feel like loyalty is sacred. And there are many glorious things that God is. And because of that, that is why human beings by nature hold them to be dear and sacred in such a way that if we didn't have them, life would not be livable. Imagine a life with no love. Unbearable. Imagine a life with where no one's loyal. We're undone at the thoughts. Well, the scripture also tells us that God is truth. And that is why truth is such a sacred thing in our lives. Let's hear what the Bible says about God as truth. Romans 3:4, it says, "Let God be true and every man a liar." What that means is compared to people, you know, God is all truth and the rest of us are just liars compared to God. 1 John 1:5 says, "God is light, and in him is no darkness at all." Now, God is light means God is truth. I went to the dentist recently and I hadn't gone a little longer than I should have. Don't do that. And as happens, I lay down there and the dental hygienist puts me in the chair and then out comes the light. You know that light, right? It looks like, it just looks like a science fiction eyeball coming down at you. And in comes the light so that she can see the truth. What Pastor Steve had not been doing well the past year. So the Bible, when the Bible says God is light, that means he is truth. John 17:17, Jesus says, "Thy word is truth." Speaking of his Father. Jesus Christ, says the gospel writer John, is from the Father, full of grace and truth. So there it is. God is truth. That's why people get a little nutty about the truth. Some people will like go to all ends of the earth to find the truth and cast aside everything to find it. It's sacred. It's special. And it's a quality of God. And so it should come as no surprise to us that without truth, life is not worth living. Without truth, life simply cannot be lived. It is an essential component of life. All right, so let's think about this. If God were not truth, what would life be like? I'll tell you what it would be. Life would be chaos. The world as you and I know it would stop behaving itself. One day, water would boil at 212 degrees Fahrenheit. The next day, it'd be boiling at 70 degrees. If God were not truth, one day gravity might work. The other day, it wouldn't. Or one day, good might be good. The next day, good might be bad. And bad might be good. Right? Isn't that a miserable and crazy and mixed up world if truth were not always true? There would be no stability, no order. We couldn't live. But, dear church, because God is true, he always tells the truth about reality, and that truth remains true every day, and that will bring stability and uniformity and predictability in our world. It makes the world livable. The things that you and I have taken for granted, gravity, goodness, the meaning of life, these things will never disappear because God is truth. And so the fact that God is truth makes life worth living. Without truth, it is not. Now, let me ask you a question. Have you ever had your life turned upside down because of a lie? Have you ever had that experience where a lie turns your world upside down? It's awful. Has someone ever said to you, "I love you," and they don't? Have you ever had that happen? Have you ever had somebody promise you something when they can't promise it to you? It will turn your world upside down. Have you ever had somebody give you directions only to mislead you? It's scandalous. And so if you get too many of these kind of things in life where your life is turned upside down by a lie, well, you get too many of these and you'll give up, you'll quit. The conditions for life will become too frustrating and confusing, bringing chaos. And so truth brings hope. Truth brings stability upon which you can build your life. That is why it's special. It's essential for life. It makes life worth living. It makes life livable. So, dear church, when you and I imitate God by telling the truth, we make life more livable for others. And God tells us to do this. He makes our lives abundant by telling us the truth. He expects us to make other people's lives abundant by telling them the truth. My dad and mom are in their mid-80s, and you often spend time just thinking about their impact on your life. And one reason I honestly believe that I had a good home life when I was a kid is I don't ever remember my parents ever once really lying to me, other than about our cat that disappeared one day and Dad said they took it to a farm. And that was traumatic later when I found out what the cats going to the farm really meant. But other than that, my parents were honest. I think about some of my best friends. I think about those friends, and one of the reasons why they're besties is because they're honest with me. And I don't have to worry, are they being truthful? But best of all, dear church, God has never lied to you and me. God has always shown us all we need for life and godliness through Jesus Christ. Truth is wonderful. It brings the conditions to flourish. So we need to tell the truth because God is truth. And so if truth is sacred, we now come to our next basic point. All right, we've talked about the sacredness of truth. We've talked about, right, all these things that we've come to appreciate about the truth. So our next question is this: since truth is so sacred, why do so many people lie? Right? Why? Well, there are many reasons that people lie. Firstly, some people lie out of hatred. It's just hateful. Being downright hateful. They are filled with so much hate that they want to bring the chaos of their hate into the life of somebody else by lying. Now, this should not be a normal practice for Christians, but sometimes, in the heat of the moment, it happens to a follower of Christ. We get hateful, and we lie. We stretch the truth. We exaggerate. You know, that's exactly what Satan did, by the way. Satan had hatred in his heart. He was one of God's early created angels, and he was a fallen angel, and he had evil in his heart and hatred toward God and hatred toward man. And so what did he do? He lied. He didn't pull out an arrow and kill our first parents. He didn't bite them with the teeth of his fangs. He lied. And Adam and Eve listened to that lie, and Satan's lie ruined everything and ushered chaos in. Lying does that. Lying brings chaos and misery wherever it goes. So let me encourage you this. If you feel hatred welling up in your heart, just don't talk. All right? Don't talk. Count to 10. Count to 100. Count to 1,000. Walk out of the room. Don't even explain why you're walking out. Just don't talk. Because hatred ruins everything. Line words, says the Proverbs, are like deadly arrows. Look at Proverbs 25, verse 18. It says, like a club, like a sword, like a sharp arrow is one who gives false testimony against a neighbor. You know, the sharp arrow of a lie is so deadly because you just can't reverse the damage once you do it. The damage will last for quite some time. You cannot pull the arrow of your words out of someone's wound easily. It takes grace and God's time to heal the wound caused by words. So let's beware of speaking lies when we feel hate bubbling. Another reason that people lie, and this is very common, listen closely, fear. Fear. We lie because we are afraid of consequences. Have you ever lied because you were afraid of losing face? Have you ever lied because you were afraid of being embarrassed? We say, I didn't do that when we did. Or we say, I didn't mean that when we did. But you see, lying is short-sighted. It might be uncomfortable to tell the truth when we will look bad because of it, or others might look bad. But when truth is spoken in love, the truth always brings more blessings than the lie. It actually elevates respect in the room. When you say the truth and you look pretty bad by admitting it, a new level of respect enters the room. And you have a clear conscience. Clear consciences are great. They're really underrated by secular America. A clear conscience. And then the smile of God on your life. Fear is overrated. Telling the truth is underrated. The blessings are best when we speak the truth in love. Another reason people lie. This might not shock you. A third reason, money. People lie for money. They think business is tough. My competitors are doing it. If I don't do it like everybody else, I'll fail. This is just how things get done in this world. But dear church, money is very temporary. If you haven't noticed, it is very temporary. It soon disappears. The thrill of money soon vanishes. Customers move on, and all you have left is a guilty conscience and a miserable relationship with God and others. This is why Proverbs 19, verse 1 says, "Better a poor man whose walk is blameless than a fool whose lips are perverse." Oh, here's another reason. Ignorance. Ignorance. Sometimes people don't actually know that what they are doing is actually lying. Maybe they had bad examples all their life. Maybe they had such little instruction about telling the truth that they never realized how creative liars actually are. Let's look at some of the ways people lie, just in case you've not been taught as thoroughly as you would like. Now, let me pause to say that the Bible, along with our larger catechism, provides such a long list of the creative ways people lie that I only have to, I just am limiting my comments to enough that you can handle and enough that fits our context. And so these are things that you might not consider lying, but they actually are lying. All right. First, saying that Michigan is first and best. Okay, I'm sorry, that slipped. I just had to say that. All right, so now we broke the ice and we're on the first one. And that's gossip. Gossip. Gossip is talking about people in a harmful way. Talking about people in a harmful way. Proverbs 16, verse 28 says this, a gossip separates close friends. So if you gossip, you will separate yourself from a close friend, or you will separate other friends from one another and wreak a lot of havoc. So I guess that's my first question tonight. When you talk, do you gossip about people? Is that a habit you've cultivated? It's easy to slip into gossip, even when you're not, when you know what it is and you're not really planning. Here's one test that my pastor, Pastor Larry, gave me when I was 20 years old. And I still remember it. It'd be interesting if he still remembers. I bet he does. But ask yourself three questions before you speak about someone. First, is it true? Secondly, is it kind? And thirdly, is it really necessary? And if you pass that three question test, then talk away. It's a wonderful, wonderful way to guard one another with our words. Now, if it doesn't pass each one of those, is it true? Because sometimes we're like, well, yeah, it's true. They are so blah, blah, blah. Well, okay. But are you saying it kindly? Well, And do I need to hear it? Am I part of the solution? Well, you're a pastor. Well, I guess that's if you're talking to me. But see, if it doesn't pass all three of these tests, then don't say it. Now, one that my pastor from high school taught me when I was a kid growing up, he would say, would you say those words if the person were standing right behind you? I thought that was good. Like, you know, maybe it's hard to say, but if I said it kindly, they're having a rough day today. If they were behind me, they'd be like, well, yeah, I am having a rough day today. That's true. And that's a great test. So not only, though, should we avoid being the gossip, you and I need to learn the art of gossip deflection. You know what I mean? Somebody offers gossip to you, and instead of saying, cool, tell me more, tell me more, tell me more, this is awesome, I didn't believe this, wow. Oh, no, no. Deflect this gossip. I have one guy I know who told me that whenever he hears gossip, he will say, well, is there nothing kind to say about him? And it sort of does a little wake up. You know, they've gone on and on and on. I'm like, well, is there nothing good about this person? And it's a very kind way to sort of like shock and say, well, maybe there is. Now, you can also deflect gossip. Now, this is an interesting way. Simply by not being a gossip yourself, then gossips will least likely target you with their gossip. I like how Bill Bright says it. He says, people don't dump garbage on green lawns. We normally go out into the woods, look for a vacant lot where there's a bunch of garbage already, and you're like, oh, this is a good spot, right? Everybody dumps it here, and they dump it there, not on a green lawn. But if our lives are a green lawn, where we don't do the gossip thing, then people are like, well, I don't know. He may not like it on his green lawn. And so that's another way to deflect. So do you and I invite gossip by being gossips ourselves? All right, so that's number one, gossip. All right, another way that we often lie and we don't think we're lying is through flattery. Through flattery. Okay, do you know the difference between gossip and flattery? Gossip is saying behind someone's back what you would never say to their face. Flattery is saying to someone's face what you would never say behind their back. Did you, okay, I think you got me. You're getting it. You're getting it. All right, so flattery is an exaggerated compliment to gain or win something from someone. Now, here's the problem if we all are flatterers. It makes us unbelievable all the time. If people figure out you just say stuff to get stuff, they're never going to trust anything you say, ever. And even worse, now listen to me closely. This is very important. In fact, sometimes if we're flatterers, we actually end up discouraging everybody around us. For example, have you ever had somebody compliment you and then you dismiss what they say as flattery and you stay discouraged? You know what I'm saying? Like, oh, you know, you did a great job. Oh, no, you're just saying that. I did terrible. It's because if we always are exaggerating and flattering people, then when we mean it, people won't believe it and they'll stay in the dumps. Have you ever quit seeking advice from people because you fear no one will tell you the truth? They just always flatter you. So flattery makes us unbelievable and thus unable to serve people with the truth. Now, one way to encourage honesty and to discourage flattery is to give people around you permission to speak the truth in love. And so, if you walk up to someone and say, "How do you like my outfit?" And if they say, "I don't punish them, right? You're training them to flatter. So be open to an honest answer. Now, if they were mean about it, right, that's not right. "Oh, you look like yesterday's meatloaf." You know, just, no, that's mean. But if they give you an honest answer, then say, "Well, thank you." Thank you. Right? That helps to encourage truth-telling. So let's respect one another's answers. And so I've had to learn that. If I walk up to somebody and say, "So how'd you like my sermon?" Okay, you know, I don't want you to say it stunk 5 minutes after I preached it. So how about if I just don't ask you? Right? If you're fishing for flattery, then just say, "Hey, I'd really like to be encouraged right now. Tell me one good thing you liked about the message this morning." But don't like be mad at people for answering the question. Let's encourage honesty. All right, thirdly, I'm thinking of another way that we often lie without realizing it, and that is exaggeration. Every American exaggerates. Okay, I'm sorry. Okay. Every exaggeration is an American thing. In fact, we legally protect exaggeration. I remember business law class, 1987, 88 at Ohio State University. And we were talking about truth-telling and lying in advertising. And the courts all protect exaggeration when you say, "We're the greatest. We're the best." Court, you cannot sue anybody for saying, "No, you're not the best." Only if you say something specific that's measurable. But that kind of exaggeration is protected by law because they just know everybody does it. And so it happens. Our advertisers exaggerate the best, the newest, the highest quality. Our politicians exaggerate. Our athletes exaggerate. This is the status quo in which we live. All right, so have you ever had this happen? You're telling a story and you're in the middle of it and suddenly it dawns on you, wait a minute, I've just stretched this fish tale. It's. Have you ever added a detail to a story or removed a detail from a story to just paint yourself in a little better light? Have you ever made your success more glorious than it really was? Well, that's exaggeration. It draws attention to us, and it will rarely encourage your neighbor. In fact, this is one thing I like to say to our younger pastors. It took me a while to learn, and it's this. You can inspire people by your success stories, but you move them by your stories of failure. And so you need not exaggerate. It doesn't do all that you might think it does. You might think it's really building you up and people are just really annoyed by you. You might think it's building others up when you're discouraging them because they say, I can never do that. Let's stay away from exaggeration. Dr. Samuel Johnson, the great man of letters, was a firm believer in accuracy when speaking. He once wrote these words, "Accustom your children to be accurate. If a thing happens at one window and they, when relating it, say that it happens at another, do not let it pass, but instantly check them. You do not know where deviation from the truth will end." And so sometimes we're just lazy with our details and we've got to, you know, crisp it up or you'll be off in wild exaggeration. All right, the fourth one. That we don't really know to be lying, but it is slander. Slander. Now, slander is a sin that trips up Christians in the church today. Now, what is slander? It's to pass along a false report, or now here's an important one, or an unverified report of ill that you heard and you passed it along. So it's either a lie you pass along or it's just unverified. Somebody said it to you, not by the mouth of two or three witnesses, but just said to you and you pass it along. Now, slander is quite often the product of envy. It's just sour grapes. Lord Byron once said these words. He said, "If you aspire to climb to the height of the mountains, you will look down upon the hatred of those beneath you." Now, people, sadly, in our pride, love to distinguish themselves from one another. And so what we've often found is we're often slandering our nearest competitors, our nearest first and second cousin relationships. It's not the stranger on the other side of the world. We don't care about them. They're not in my life. What do I care? It's that guy right near me. Drives me nuts. So we slander. For example, Christians slander fellow Christians way too much. Have you ever criticized the church down the road? You know what I heard? All they want is money. Oh, really? Now, how would you measure that? How would you measure that? Have you ever badmouthed a prestigious minister across town? Do you absolutely, positively know these criticisms to be true? If you don't, zip it. You see, we often pass on bad reports without giving them a second thought, and then they get a life of their own in the Christian ghetto and just bounce off the walls in a sounding chamber. And we just believe it because it's bounced so many times off of our little walls. And that is slander. And the Lord hates slander. Here's another one. It's called insinuation. Now, insinuation is a form of slander, but it's not quite slander. To insinuate is to cast doubt upon someone's reputation in a way that they cannot challenge. For example, is John really that smart? Or would Jane really qualify for that position? How can you answer that question? You can't. You see, they cannot be defended, and it leaves the attacker protected. You're just simply raising a question. Now, one of the worst forms of lying that we find in our generation comes from the realm of philosophy. Two words, pragmatism and relativism. All right, so pragmatism teaches that it just doesn't really matter what's true. Does it work or not? Truth can only be measured by success. Pragmatism is one reason why Americans are getting more and more impatient with truth. They only want to know it if it makes something work. If there are no immediate results, then it is irrelevant. Now, the other one is relativism. Relativism teaches that there is no such thing as truth. Truth can be anything you want it to be. If it is meaningful to you, then it is true. If it is not, then it is not. Well, that's just silly. But our culture has swallowed this lie. So in closing, and like I said, we could keep going. That larger catechism, you know, gets pretty long, but we covered some good ones to study tonight. I want to close up with this question. What is the truth about you? What is the truth about you? A lot of us have a love-hate relationship with truth. Some of us would go to great ends to discover something true that we're passionate about, but then live very inauthentic lives in front of one another. We are drawn to the truth and terrified by the truth at the same time. And I guess my question to you tonight is, are you willing to step into the realm of truth, that the truth may set you free? It won't be easy. It will not be pain-free. But Jesus says truth sets free. And if you desire to be freed by truth about yourself, truth about your relationships, truth about your relationship with God, truth about who you are and where you're going, you will need to first accept a truth yourself. And that is, you need the way, the truth, and the life, Jesus, to take that journey into truth. You and I need to stop pretending. Stop pretending that all is right with our life, all is right with our soul, all is right with our family, all is right with our life. And that we don't need Jesus, we don't need anything, we can do it ourselves. Stop pretending that all is right and admit the truth about who you are, your sin, and your need for Jesus. And as you acknowledge that truth, Jesus says a beautiful miracle will happen. You will know the truth and you will become free. Free. Jesus says these words, and I'll close with them. To all who receive Christ as Lord, Jesus says, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. I invite you tonight to step in that realm of truth, and it begins with the truth of Jesus. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for Christ, who lived a transparent life before his Father and before men and was found to be worthy to go to the cross for us. Father, we confess that we contrive many ways to both seek and shield ourselves from the truth. It's just too traumatic to know how bad things really are in our hearts. It is just too bad. It's just too traumatic for our neighbors to know. If they knew, would they still be our friend? But most of all, if you, and you do know, can we ever know God? Thank you that Christ, who is the truth, fills the gap and has promised freedom and liberty to all who follow him by faith. Grant that we may walk in the courage of truth with you, with ourselves, and with one another. Grant us grace to grow in it day by day. We humbly ask these things in Jesus' name, and let us all say, amen. This message was brought to you by Cedar Church, a newer church in Jenison, Michigan, belonging to a historic denomination, the Orthodox Presbyterian Church. Our weekly Sunday services are held at 9:30 a.m. and 5:30 p.m. For additional information, or if we can be of assistance to you, please feel free to contact me, Pastor Steve, at 616-669-9151 or at the church website.